You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Looking ahead to Sunday's action on this edition, you'll hear it all live from 11:50 a.m. Sam Norris, Paddy Aspel and John Budden, the team in the studio at Carlisle and Southwell, the domestic meetings. Also a good card over in Navan in Ireland, grade 2 on that card, and a grade B handicap hurdle as well. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined by Mr. James Millman to have a little reflection on the best of Saturday and a look ahead to Sunday. It was a pretty good, busy nonetheless, but a pretty good Saturday, wasn't it?
Yeah, busy and decent Saturday, wasn't it? Cheltenham, Doncaster, plenty to keep us busy. Not many Irish Raiders, and that's basically signals a little bit lower than perhaps what we're going to see at the festival in March, but some good winners nonetheless.
In terms of Doncaster, we'll start there. Both of the Grade 2 races, both of the big races on their card, were won by the favourites, but just speaking to you off-air there, get the impression you weren't overly enamoured with the performances or the strength in the races and in terms of going forward, what do you make of the Doncaster results today?
Yeah, Doncaster as a whole, last 2 days, because of the ground, they've actually watered in December to try and get some decent ground, and that says it all. And not many trainers were keen to run the two Grade 2 races, only 4 runners in each race. Kel Destin did get the job done once again in the juvenile hurdle, but I think the Irish would like to have a stronger hand come Cheltenham. He did get a job done early on at Cheltenham, but again, having as much strength and depth to what he's beaten. Rocky's Treasure jumps extremely well, but Santini firmly put him in his place last time at Newbury. So for me, probably the Cheltenham angle was actually Santini, that his form's been boosted. I think he's got an obvious chance in the RSA.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing how Santini progresses throughout the season. He looks the exciting one. Let's turn our attention to Cheltenham then, James, because very good card there. The feature race, or one of the feature races, the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup, handicap chase, grade 3 over 2.5 miles. And it's a race where we saw Frodon come out on top under Bryony Frost, another big Saturday winner for her. Good to see her back in the winner's enclosure on a big Saturday meeting. Beat Sapage, who I thought ran really well in second. Third place was last year's winner, Guitar Pete. Alco just failing to defy the rise in the weights from his recent success at Cheltenham. He finished fourth and just got tired late on, but I thought he ran well for a long way. And I think we were paying first 7 at William Hill for the start of the show. I think it was reduced to 6 in the end due to the non-runners. So rather be in 5th and Mr. Medic in 6th if you needed those as well. But we'll start with Frodon. Paul Nicholls and Bryony Frost seem to love this horse, and you can see why. He just keeps coming back and improving year on year, and another big success for him here.
Yeah, another big success, and Lovenstone 12.
Some performance, isn't it?
Exactly, from 5th down, 10 stone 5. So he's given Stone and Southern £21 to near the whole field, and jumping was absolutely brilliant. A carbon copy of the race here 4 weeks ago, Baron Alcon and Frodon out in front, and Bryony this time was even more positive than Frodon. I think she probably felt, looking back, maybe a little bit too easy for Baron Alcon, even though it looked like they were going too quick last time. They've really stepped it up a bit again today. Baron Alka was found out. He was £3 worse off, up £6 for that win. But Frodon off that weight was an absolute storm. He kept on galloping all the way up the hill, finding more for Bryony. And yeah, amazing performance. He's improving all the time. And I think everyone loves to see a handicapper get the job done off top weight in these kind of races. It just shows you how classy he is. He's only 6. Still a very, very young horse. Ryanair, you'd have to say he'd have an obvious chance in that contest to come the festival. The only caveat, I suppose, as such, in the spring so far he's not been as good, and it may be this is his time of year, but even so, a cracking performance today.
It's a great weight defying performance from him. I mean, Sapage, obviously 10 stone 5 on his back, so there's quite a significant difference there. He travelled well into the race and loomed upside Frodon at one point, and then you think maybe the weight's going to tell, but just testament to Frodon that he then pulled away again, and he's just very gutsy and very game, and he's done really well there. Other race I want to mention on the card is the international hurdle, grade 2 over 2 miles and 1 furlong. Went the way of Brain Power, who has been a talking horse for a number of years. He's often being said to have more ability than what we've seen of him. I think this was a step in the right direction for him today. It was pretty good. Worthy of the win, I think. He wasn't, you know, he was the best horse in the race today.
Yeah, most definitely. Eight runners, an extremely open contest. And then beforehand, working in the radio, it's very hard to actually pinpoint what your winner was going to be, because all eight you can make a solid case for. And actually, Brain Power is probably one you could have ruled out just because he's been so inconsistent. But like you say, Nicky's always put the world of him. I think at Seven Barrows, he's not that far out here on the work gallops in the mornings, and they've always been very disappointed by what he's done. The jumping just hasn't really survived a test over fences. I think the owner was very keen to stick him back over hurdles, and that was key today. We were kind of looking at the second tier hurdlers, weren't we? Somerville Boy disappointed in the fight in fifth. He's disappointed again today, but Bovidaire, he looks a class above these. That Brain Power, he won very, very nicely. The Greatwood forms worked out well. Back in second, Silver Streak was second in the Greatwood. Third, Western Rider, he was fifth in the Greatwood. So that form's looking pretty solid for Nietzsche. But again, it all shows you Bovidaire's just that class above our hurdles at the moment, especially in the UK. Mellon and Lorena, the Willie Mullins duo, need to step up a little bit to challenge him. But he's going to be very short in all these races up to the festival.
A couple I want to talk about that were nowhere near at the finish in that race. Somerville Boy, obviously he won the Supreme last year, had a really good year last season, but in two outings this year, disappointing behind Bovidaire, beaten a long way, and similar again today in a you know, a Grade Two on form, he should be banging the mix there, and he's been disappointing again. Where do we go now with Somerville Boy? What do you think we'll see from him going forward?
Well, Kenny made a good point in the paddock beforehand. This time last year, he didn't set the world alight. He got beat at Stratford on his very first run over hurdles, and he was only third, I think, at the November meeting at Cheltenham on his second start. So he improved a lot from January onwards. So Connections, I think, will be hoping that's just perhaps his style, because you didn't see him as a Supreme Novice Hurdle winner this time last year, and we certainly don't see him as a Champion Hurdle contender this time around, but he may well bounce back. Because what was worrying, I suppose, was Tom George had no excuse for the fight in fifth effort, and we're too soon to say there's an excuse today, but it may just be he's a much better horse later on in the season.
Might just be a spring horse than Somerville Boy. The new one, no longer a spring chicken. Unfortunately, he pulled up ahead of the last in that international hurdle, and from what we were hearing before the race, that'll probably be the last we see of him in that case.
Yeah, I think so. The market was very, very weak for the new one. He'd had three poor runs in a row. They're very positive with the headgear. He travelled nicely in the early stages, but 10-year-old, rising 11 next week, he just got tired in the end. Sam Bray Wisey, he was literally on the heels of the leaders, but there's no point jumping an extra hurdle, and Sam Wisey pulled him up. So right decision, I would imagine. On the back of that effort, he's probably going to be retired, but what a fantastic horse he's been for the Twiston Davises over the years. He's been back every single time. This race he made his own, and good luck to him in the future, and I hope he has a very happy retirement.
I will echo that entirely, and I hope, I didn't see the pictures afterwards, but I hope he's pulling up before the last hurdle there. I hope he's had a nice long walk down the grandstand, and people have just applauded him off the track, because he deserves it. He's been a grand old boy, hasn't he, the new one? Rising 11, and happy retirement to him. Anything else got to try from Saturday?
Not particularly. Like I said, the Irish was staying away, which was probably key. I thought Drover's Lane's jumping was very strong in a novice's chase. Unfortunately, that might just tip his handicap mark above the novice's handicap option at the festival, and he might have to go into open company. But for Rebecca Curtis, a good turnaround for her, having a decent horse like him in the yard.
We'll obviously have more reaction to this on the show over the weekend, and on the upcoming podcasts, no doubt. But we're going to turn our attention now to Sunday's action. We've got Carlisle, Southwell and Navan to look forward to. We will be hearing from Andy Holding on Sunday. He'll give us his thoughts for Navan. So James is going to take care of Southwell and Carlisle for us, a best bet on each of those cards. We'll go through them in chronological order. The 2:15 is the first one. That's at Southwell. Just short of 2 miles for a mare's handicap hurdle. It's a qualifier for the Challenger Mares Hurdle Series final, and I expect, James, we're going to see quite an open event here with plenty of mares with chances. Which one made you pick this race? What do you like in there?
Yeah, there's only four in the race, but it's very open. You could probably pick any of the four. I quite like Kimberley Point, got that course in its form. Now, Savile is quite a unique track where a lot of course form repeats itself as such, and Kimberley Point's had two runs at the track over course and distance, second to Checkered View back in October, and then won her next two starts. Firstly at Utoxeter in a maiden hurdle, and then a pretty competitive race, I thought, last time, beating Sea Story by four lengths. That race is working out quite well. Handicap has only put her up a pound to 1.23. So that rating's pretty fair for a filly that's shown decent enough form in the bumper sphere, and she seems to be improving now she's gone hurdling. Main danger, probably Canny Style. Second start for Joanne Foster, won nicely at Sedgefield on yard debut, up £5 for that win. Nathan Moscrop retains a ride, but I think this might be a slightly stronger race. So fascinating stuff. Only the four fillies take part, but it's very, very competitive, and Kimberley Point, the five-year-old, is the selection.
Moving on to the race at Carlisle next in the 225. It's a Potemps Network Handicap Hurdle Series qualifier, Class 2 event over 3 miles and 1 furlong. There was a runner in here that caught my eye, and that was Aspen Colorado. He was a very good, or an exciting bumper horse with Joseph O'Brien. Subsequently, things have kind of gone a little bit amiss. Moved to Jonjo O'Neill in the UK. 2 from 2 since moving to the yard. 2 from 2 at Carlisle. Trip is the question for me. I'm not sure he stays this far.
Yeah, that it could be the issue, because he's tried it at Goran and Galway in his last 2 starts over in Ireland. Finished 9th on both occasions. Didn't look to see out the trip. Carlisle was a very stiff 3 mile. Obviously, it's in his favour. He's got the 2 wins at the track over the 2.5 mile. First time he definitely caught JP and Co by surprise, because he went off at 33-1 and absolutely bolted up, beating T's Components Lad by 3.5 lengths. That was a strong race, 18 runner handicap hurdle, pretty competitive stuff. Up £7, he gets a job done back at Carlisle again, beating Court Tycoon by 3.75 lengths. He's up another £8 today, so 1-3-5. So he's gone up £15 for those 2 wins and a Potemps qualifier. Much stronger stuff, obviously, people trying to get on track for Cheltenham, and most importantly for them, I think you've only got to be in the first 7 or first 8, so nearly all of these are guaranteed to get into that. I quite like one at the bottom of the handicap, though, Lord de Mesnil. This one represents a Richard Hobson stable. He's had a bit of a reputation when he came over from France. Unfortunately, both his runs over fences, he hit the deck. Got back on track, 5th in a maiden hurdle at Yatoxeter behind Beaksdown, and then ran very well in the French Furs at Newcastle on Fighting 50. I thought that was a really good effort 15 days ago. Literally beaten in a freeway photo by Ass Ben. Handicap has been quite lenient, I thought. 1-2-1 is Mark. Racing Post went 1-2-4, so he's arguably got £3 in hand. Danny Cook, I like the jockey booking, just 10 stone 2. It's going to be hard work tomorrow at Carlisle, up that hill, and that lightweight will be key. So Lord de Mesnil is my choice.
Okay, of the pair that you mentioned there, which is the strongest selection? Which do you like most?
Knapp will be the Richard Hobson runner, Lord de Mesnil. So hopefully he can get the job done.
Might get a bit of a price about him as well. Well, yeah, a better price than the other one, perhaps.
You're going to get an each-way price for the 8 runners, which would be what I would be angling to do. But I do think he's a nice type, and hopefully he goes very close.
Superb. Thank you very much, James. Very best of luck, and enjoy the action on Sunday.
I will do. Thank you, Mark.
And you can hear all of the racing on Sunday on William Hill Racing Radio, 11:50 a.m. start time. Sam Norris, Paddy Aspel and Lord John Budden, the team in the studio. Carlisle and Southwell in the afternoon on the domestic front, accompanied by Navan over the Irish Sea, where we've got a couple of decent graded races. Well, a grade 2 and a graded handicap. It works slightly different over in Ireland. Grade B, the handicap, the Tara handicap hurdle. So plenty to get stuck into. Do join the team for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.